as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Everything he lost, and knowing God, he's always above excellence. then he got a hit for the last, what, 3,500 years. He's known nothing but bliss and will only know that for eternity. I think it was, you know, it might have been challenging at that time. And then remember that as you're going through. Amen. He said going through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity that you have provided for us with the blood of your own Son to be able to come before your throne. Amen. To be able to access the very God of creation. We thank you, Lord, that you welcome us at any time of the day or hour. We thank you, Father. We ask right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and give us a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding that we will more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance that you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you have made available for those of us that will submit and obey you, Lord. And teach us, Lord, the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work that is approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon your hearts of your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I had my pastor did a series that wasn't, as a matter of fact, was the first time I encountered, first time I started going to this church. He started out a series, and it's really ironic because somebody else remembered this series. It's called The Nature of Man. And one day when we were at, you know, had some time together, I told him that he should reproduce that. And then one day the Lord told me, he said, if you've been paying attention, that's all he's been preaching, is all the various aspects of how to have this relationship with God. And that was so key because that message series changed not only my life, a lot of people's lives. I've heard from them in that it took us from being religious into really what walking in righteousness was. And it's amazing that how I was drawn there. You know, and it's sad that I went there kicking and screaming, telling God, I don't want to go. Why should I go there? You know, and he was 10 times the size of where I was, and I yada, 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 and I'm being an idiot talking to the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, like he didn't have a plan. I'm so glad that I did. So, listen, this is what this life is about. It isn't about something as simple as live right and you get to go to heaven and live happily ever after in a mansion. You know what? Think about that. After about 20,000 years, you probably get bored with just that. Think about that. I don't think we really contemplate who we are dealing with. We look and we see, but we don't see, you know. And this is the point that I'm trying to get across, to look deeper into this, not to become super religious, you know, a bunch of scripture quoting, because I've run into people like that quite frequently. They quote scripture, but they don't never crack them open and look into them and ask God about them. See, I'm talking about the kingdom of Christ. Now, you'll get somebody want to argue with me, no, it's the kingdom of God. Well, you'd have to explain to me the difference. The difference is it has come to pass, okay? This is all Jesus preached. John the Baptist preached that the kingdom of God is at hand. So when you change it to Christ, which that became the kingdom of Christ in Matthew 28:18, he said all power is given unto me. Now, I spent before I started this session, I spent 15 weeks trying to explain how Christ has been part of been the objective of God from the beginning. And what it really signifies is that it is the manifestation of the second gen man. That is God on the inside of man. And so when you hear the term Christ, it's a statement. It says more than just them five letters. It tells a story of God's beginning with man, the teaching of man, bringing him to the level of to the place where he could be made fit to receive the very power of God. I don't think, see, we want a short version of everything, but we're going to live eternally. That's something that boggles my mind sometimes. I think about that. You know, this is why, there's a few places on the planet I want to see, but actually the places I want to see, they don't have tourists. I want to go down to the bottom of the ocean. You know, I mean, going to a country where I don't speak the language and seeing a bunch of old stuff really ain't that thrilling to me. Okay, I'll be looking for a drag strip in the area, and I know there's one in almost every country. I even think Russia, pray for them, they got some drag strips. So, you know, because, see, you don't understand. When you're in a race car, what you experience is what draws men into it. It's that power. And it's power beyond the norm and the effort that you have to go through to control it. And see, you have to begin to look at this life as God teaching you how to use the power he has given us, because it is beyond our imagination, because we don't get to do some of the things that we'd want to do. We'd want to move a mountain. Earth would be if God just let us do as we please, because we had that curiosity. Look at what science did. You know, this is why I know God will have to fix this, they call it global warming, global issue, whatever it is. It was global cooling, now it's global warming. But these folk blew up. I know America, I didn't look up how many Russia blew up, but America blew up over 1,000 nuclear bombs. Based on the laws of matter, that radiation didn't go fly out into deep space somewhere. It's still roaming around the Earth, and it does have an impact on our environment. You can see it. But even with that, if you are operating in the Holy Ghost, if you are submitting to God, if you are doing the things that God has admonished us to do in his word, despite the irregular behavior of the weather that's being perverted by Satan, you know, he's just using tools available, you can overcome it. I know it seems incredible. You think you had to be, well, you do have to be. There's a given. You know, people say, I ain't perfect. You know, I'd be tempted to want to say, yeah, any dummy know that. That's a given. You're not God. But you have to realize that the power he has given you, even as a simple man, without the Holy Ghost, you are a danger outside your body. Again, review. Look at what happened in Luke chapter 16. I'm telling you, you got to look deep into that. They're having a conversation with full recognition of who they're talking to. Think about what it takes to talk. The exchange of information, the vibrations that occur in the airway. The point of this is the power level, the same power that Jesus has right now. God want to give it to us. So it is incumbent that we understand his perception. Now, when you think of kingdom of God, primary thing that really identifies that kingdom is not just the being able to interact under the guise of love, agape love particularly. Agape love is a type of love that really is based on the fact that God has already given it to you. That's another one of the anyway, it'll come to me, Holy Ghost. So another one, expression, okay, a similitude, expression, because it's really saying I'm releasing God into the situation. God is love. Think about that. That's not a euphemism. That's telling us something. God is love. So I can't say I can't love somebody because I got the power of God. You know, we sing that song, I got the power of Christ in me. I got the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Now think about that. What spirit is that? It's the overcoming, overpowering, overwhelming, overcoming, can't be beat power of God, Lord God Jehovah. See, it is the equivalent of God handing, giving you a 747 or even a F, I like the F-35, really, that thing, woo. If you ever get a chance to go to an air show and watch that thing, you really should. That's a powerful plane. If you go to an air show. I mean, just look at what's happening. They play, I go to the airport quite regular, and it just amazed me what we do with simple thrust power. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus had complete control, command, and he just rose up into heaven. Listen, you got to understand what that kind of power that really is. And when you can command power like that, you're the equivalent of an army by yourself. See? Now, if God expects us to master two things, love for him and love for my neighbor. And then he give us all these neighbors in these situations and challenges. And that's the only way we're going to see where the power is. And we have to bring our minds into subjection, into submission through his word. This is what this is about. This is what this is about. Because we're going on from here. We're getting closer. Each day, each second, we're getting closer to that total kingdom life. Now, okay, let's go to Matthew, a known, well-known scripture, Matthew chapter 6, amen, most of you know it, probably quote it all the time, Matthew 6, verse 33, common scripture, but, you know, it puts priority on things, okay, anyway, all right, let me make, for the sake of time, Jesus is telling them before, earlier on in the chapter, don't be concerned about what you have or don't have. I mean, and particularly to you, now, I'm gonna give you FYI for you. New Christians, get all you can out of God. You know how a baby gets all the attention? Well, with God, same way. When you're a baby in Christ, you need a job, tell him you want a good job. Don't just say a job, tell him you want a good job, see? But just, now, if you get a good, God give you a good job, you gotta follow through and stay close to God because that good job may have required skill set you haven't developed yet. But the Holy Spirit know how to do everything. I mean, a lot of things I do with what I do when I work on cars and stuff. I recently did some stuff. I relied on Him, so He can give you on the spot job training. Okay, because you go to college and learn a lot of stuff, and they don't teach you none of what you need to know when you go to a job. But the Holy Ghost can do that. God is intent on you having success in everything you do. All right. So in this, Jesus is saying, don't be caught up in this because when you get to verse 33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Ain't that ironic that he used that term? In other words, you're going to be challenged. Don't look, you know, I see people want, you know, I get that. People want, they ask them what could they have, and they say they want world peace. Jesus said he didn't come to bring that. I think that's in Matthew chapter 10. He said, I came to bring a sword. Listen, why? Because that tells me that we have this perception of what we think heaven is going to be like, what eternal life is going to be like. But we are not looking at the details, as my teacher used to say. Pay attention to detail. Because that's a distinctly different situation than what you think it is. Okay? In other words, we would not be going through this if the power level was going to be basic. And I get this because I know several of our brethren, different levels of congregations, what they call denominations, think all we're going to do is just have a trouble-free basic life walking around on earth. Yeah, well, you know, you eliminate what's written in the book of Revelation. That's a nice thought. You're eliminating what John, you want to minimize what John saw, said, because you're basing it on your perception. You know, and if I still, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, well, did you ask God about it? And see, and a person came immediately, a person that spent time with God will immediately say yes. And to say, well, I don't think I need to. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. It didn't say some. Because this is why we got all this stuff. Listen, ain't no denominations in the Bible. Can't nobody point one out. This denomination, the kingdom of God, is the only message that Jesus and John preached. That's the only message in the Old Testament. It's been all about that. And it's about eternally. God is not expanding the universe at 186,000 miles per second every second. And this all we're going to do is walk around on earth. I mean, come on now. I mean, what, he bored? He had angels before he had us. I mean, you think about this. But again, like I say, you're not looking at even your basic part of life. Just to hear me, your ears have to grab and analyze vibrations in the airways and interpret what my voice is saying. I mean, that takes a lot of effort and energy. Like I said, when I get through talking, I had to go and sit still for a minute and let myself catch up. You use a lot of energy. That's why you see preachers sweating so much when they be preaching. This work, you're generating a lot of energy, you know, quite a bit more than it takes to run a car. And this all hinges, this is what we're here to learn. This is why I call it training day. We're here to learn it. If I'm not working to get to heaven, okay, I'm not proving my worth, okay, I'm not proving I'm worthy. Nobody can do that. Look, they had here in Detroit, we have a hotel, one of the Renaissance Center, and they have the presidential suite. That thing costs $75,000 per night, all right? All right, and it might have gone up some since. I mean, when they opened up, it was $25,000. All right, now how much would it cost to live in heaven? They haven't even manufactured enough. And then on the earth, when Jesus come back to rule, I mean, come on now. Think deeper than that. Think deeper than that. You got to go through that. But again, the power level. If it wasn't for the power. Look what's going on now. Here, what do you hear? It's increase in crime, right? That's really a decrease in prayer, but it's an increase in crime because why? People think they had a power, they get a little gun, and they go up and they just shoot and kill people, okay? And this is what God is. This is why. They don't love their neighbor. They don't love their neighbor. They operate, they let pride rule them, okay? Which bring their destruction. What they don't know is there are those of us that do understand the power of prayer, and we pray when we see those situations. We pray that God will send help to the police for them to capture them, to wake up the minds of witnesses and give them courage to come forth and give them evidence. See, we can do that. This is what's going on. See, that's one of the things. This is what that statement I make at the ear. God, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Because if you praying, who's got an answer? Washington, D.C. don't answer this. Your state capitol don't answer the prayer. Your governor, your mayor, your pastor. Nobody answered the prayer but God. So God is trusting you to utilize his power in the earth to do what? He said, listen, what did Jesus pray? See, hallelujah. Let's go read this prayer. That's, you know what, one of the things that people, again, like I said, you got to look at, things in the eyes of God, with God in the process. you got to keep, because that's what this is about, okay? I'm going to keep harping on that. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And this is a basic prayer. You've heard it all your life, but I want you to look at this in a different perspective. We're going down. I'm not going to be talking a lot about prayer. You can go and read the rest of it. Matter of fact, I want to read this in the NIV. So give me a second here, because it's imperative that you get this. It says, "This then is how you should pray." This is Jesus talking. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And then, of course, it says in the next verse, "If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you." You know, that's one of them scriptures that I read that I never had a problem with. I mean, it didn't make me feel good, but I didn't have a problem complying. You know, I would just shake my head and go my way. You know, because again, this is part of life. God let the devil exist. He let him. Satan is not invisible. He's invisible to us, but he's not invisible to God. Think about that. God is omnipresent. There isn't a dimension. There isn't an area in anywhere, any dimension, any place. He is not fully aware. So why then let this dude run around when he's the problem? Because the problem is, as you can see in today's society, there's God good, and there's the devil good. And for you to know the difference, he has to let you see the other side. Because God, see, we need to know what deception is, because God can't deceive. God can't lie. God can't steal. He can't do none of those things. Again, I make reference to it was a TV show, but it's a show where these thieves steal from thieves. Okay, with God, that ain't the way to handle it. God is, we'll pray for them. God would prefer us to pray for them to be delivered. But I want to go to verse 10 in Matthew 6, and it says, "Your kingdom come." Okay? And for years, somebody pointed out that for years I would pray, "Let your kingdom come," but it doesn't say that. Why? It's not optional. This is going to be. Now, this happens on this earth. You got to look at all the pieces of the puzzle. In Genesis 1:26, God created man. He said, "Let us give them dominion." Man has dominion. So for his kingdom to come on earth, and let his will be done as it is in heaven, it has to come through man. And then I have to know what goes on in heaven. The only way I know what goes on in heaven is I have to know God's word, because that's how things run up there. There's no deviation up there. There's no committees up there. You don't get to vote up there. It's do it or suffer the consequences. You know, we think all these good ideas of democracies is a good idea. You know it ain't. That's why it wasn't none in the Bible. It's a monster. If they say anything with more than one head, it's a monster. Look at what it has brought. Nothing. Chaos. All right. But Jesus wasn't just saying things to impress us. He's given us revelation of the intent and the will of God. That's what his will is, his earnest intention, his expectation. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you go back, a good brief place to watch what goes on in heaven is in the book of Revelation. Don't be scared to read. If you're scared to read the book of Revelation, something wrong, because you're not operating in faith, for one. Faith and fear don't hang out. They can't occupy the same space. You know, if faith is in there, fear is gone, okay? Faith is fervent action and trust in him. Fear is false evidence appearing real. So you got to pick one of the two, all right? Let me say that again. Faith is fervent action in trusting him, that's my acronym for faith, and false fear is false evidence appearing real. And false being that the devil perpetrated something. But this is the goal of life. Jesus, this is all Jesus preached. He did not preach, Lord, I want to start a church, and we're going to name it this. No. No. And you won't find no. John was the only Baptist that ever lived. There have been, for you to be a Baptist, you would technically have to have been born before Jesus Christ. You ain't baptized. You know, it ain't got anything to do with baptism. It's forerunner of Christ, okay? But even at that, his kingdom, okay? A few weeks ago, I was talking about speaking in tongues. You have to settle that with God. You know, nobody really, that challenge is pretty much from the first time everybody. But then you come to a decision, it's in the Bible. The Bible said it's going to happen. I have a problem. I saw somebody else that agreed with me. Okay. The best evidence of being filled with the Spirit is your behavior. Now, I can give great, I understand in the Word how significant it is for God to dominate your tongue. That's definitely a kingdom area. Okay? So what are we talking about? We're talking about the realm of God. And this is the whole point. I come here on earth, but my goal is to dwell in the realm of God. Okay? Now, he said, your kingdom come. So it's an expectation, and we are approaching that at the end of this age when Satan will be locked up, okay? He won't be destroyed immediately. He will be locked up for 1,000 years. Jesus will rule on the planet from Jerusalem. That's not hyperbole. It's not imaginary. That is actually going to happen. This is as sure as I am talking to you now. All these things come together for that reason. This issue with Putin. The prayers of the righteous, and I thank God for the pastors that teach their people to pray, and they're being consistent, because that what's being set up now, the place right now, is indicative or potentially a setup for World War III. Now, World War III is a nuclear, biological, holocaustical war in which the nation of Israel arises the victor. Okay, that's in Ezekiel 38:39. Armageddon is when Jesus Christ with us comes from heaven, amen, destroyed the Antichrist, take control of the planet. I don't even know how people can even want to debate that issue, but they do. That's pride that does that. You know, like I listened to this guy, and he's talking about the rapture happened at that point. That don't even make sense. Why rapture me and Jesus coming down to stay on the earth? I could just sit here and wait on him to come. I'm gonna go up in there and come right back down. That, I don't even, you know what? That to me tells me that you're an easy mark for the devil. He found out, oh, I got a good one here. All right. Your kingdom come, your will be done. His intent. God's word is his will. I don't know the will of God for my life. Listen. God's word is his will, okay? Certain things I'm supposed to do. If you got to read the word to know the will, okay, how are you going to give an answer to all men of the hope that lies in you if you haven't read the word? Why do you believe what you believe? See, when I'm out in pursuit of the will of God, you know, looking for specifically, when I go out to do my thing in Uber, okay, I go out because I find different ways and different manners to open the door. I try to find if they're open to hear the gospel. No matter what, before I even, when I know I have a person to pick up, I pray for them. I pray for God to give them the spirit of wisdom. God has to, see, I invite God into the situation to change, to bring about it. And it has worked many times. See, this is what it is. God has trusted me with his power to pray. That, see, I'm either looking to plant a seed or water a seed. You know, and this is what the mission is. We're here to increase the kingdom of God. Then we're supposed to help members of the kingdom of God understand the process, what this life is about, how to deal with an unruly neighbor, or how to help a good neighbor. What is our role? What do we do when we get a neighbor that moves in, you living next door and two gay guys move next to you? How do you treat them? Well, the word says you treat them in love. You don't hang out with them. I don't hang out with many people anyway. But so you don't distinguish them like society does, different from an adulterer or a fornicator or a liar, a thief, a drug dealer particularly. Amen. You don't distinguish them differently, but you to pray for them effectively, your love, now this type of love, again, is agape, okay? You have to see them as God sees them, as a person with a need that only God can fix, amen, to bring deliverance. So that means at the same time, if they want to borrow your lawnmower, you don't say, I'm not loaning him my lawnmower, that gay, yeah. No, if your lawnmower can take it, let them borrow it. Buy one if you can afford it, okay? The point is, you're not supposed to discriminate. We have this, you know, I don't do much advertising, but on Prime, there is a documentary called White Savior, Racism in the Church. You really need to watch that. Yeah, you really do. But, again, historically, all this division, which Satan didn't wait 100, he didn't wait 1,500 years to start division. This thing started before the Bible was completed, okay? You go to 1 Corinthians, you'll read what Paul talked about division in the church right away. That's Satan, divide and conquer. See, because he knows if he gets me out of love, he weakens my authority. See, he understand how this thing works. All he wants is for me to be separated, for there to be a barrier between me and God. He can't put up a barrier. I have to do it. So he tricks me into doing it. Just like, when I started out, you know, my deliverance, I got delivered at a particular, quote, denomination, which would be classified as apostolic. Okay, I didn't know what the difference was. I didn't even care. I just remember what happened to me, okay? And at that particular time, I heard somebody talk about that the other day, that they would not associate with, quote, Baptists, because like they was beneath them because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. But then you're reading the Bible, okay? Matter of fact, let's go to read Acts 2:38. It's amazing how slick Satan is. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, okay? This is what they hang up. I mean, they preach this. I remember they used to have, it was a radio show, and they would tell you, if you ain't been baptized in Jesus' name, you ain't saved. Meaning that, let's read this, okay, and then I'm going to get in there. It said, then Peter said unto them, I mean, this is the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost them fell, and they already got their own people to deal with. But right now, then Peter said unto them, one, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so that tells me, and that tells me, you have to be saved first before you can receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. You cannot speak in tongues and get saved. They don't work. Jesus would not have gone to the cross if it was going to be that way. I mean, look at how it says it clearly. Then they're like, well, they baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Listen, you got to figure this out. Listen, I know who Jesus said that. I know he said. He said, make disciples. The point of the matter is what it all represents, okay? This Peter spoke this under the Holy Ghost. Now, he was there when Jesus said, go ye baptize and why? He's saying that this is God's kingdom business. The person being, okay, this is how God broke it down to me. Because, you know, he said, listen, if I baptize somebody, he said particularly, he said, if you baptize a Muslim believing on Muhammad, okay, and you say, I'm doing the baptizing, that I'm baptizing them, I say I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, but they don't believe on Jesus Christ, God said, you're just getting them wet. What Peter is saying right here is the person being baptized has to believe on Jesus Christ. So that's something you have to require, ask of them. I can say nothing and just put them down in the water, pull them up. They've been baptized in Jesus' name. See, what we don't understand is what is heaven looking at? I'm carrying out the will of God. This is kingdom business. That's all. And it's an outward expression of an inward work, period. Okay? You know, you already saved. You don't get saved to get baptized. You already saved. See, this is what God is talking. This is what your kingdom comes, letting him. See, we don't understand this right away. The Bible is God's constitution for the heaven, if I could say that. And we learn in the process. They were learning the process. Remember, they were Jews going through a major cultural change, and they ran into a lot of opposition. We've gotten better at that today. Now we there's been more interaction. This actually, witness, I said to say that God had to remove some pastors on both sides of the fence in order to bring us to where we are today. And it's sadly, and I think in these last days, he's going to remove some more, you know, because he want to get this thing done. Because one of the things I've learned that being around here in every denomination, that there is a groups of people, there are people totally sold out, and there are some people that's partially sold out, and some just make it barely in, you know. That's with every combination, you know what I mean? And again, it says it right here. You get saved first, okay, then you enter the kingdom of God. You get into the kingdom of God, then the rest, he said, you shall receive the gift. It's a gift. It's a kingdom gift. Kingdom gift is a kingdom gift. You don't earn it. Jesus paid for it with his blood. You can cut yourself, nail your hands, nail your feet. You ain't paying for nothing but the doctor bill. That's it. All right? Now, again, the challenge come, I arrived at that conclusion because I did what? I asked God about it, because at the end of the day, because I'm looking at these people that belong to these different organizations, particularly my barber back in the day. He's passed away, but I actually remember going to God and telling him, you know, I was trying to have that conversation because, you know, you've been taught. And you know, now I was fresh, you know, I don't know, a few weeks. And so I'm asking him, has he been baptized in Jesus' name? He started laughing because he knew where I was going. Now, this man lived with anybody that knew him. They named a street after him. Come on, now, this man lived a sanctified life, okay? I mean, and he never spoke a tongue. He never spoke a tongue. He could have. He just didn't understand it. Now, and that's because those of us that did not pray for God to give him the revelation. God is still, he's always looking at how we look at things, because he want us to see that we see things his way. That's the major, my grandfather, who anointing I believe I have for teaching. That man was, quote, Baptist, as they would call it. But he lived a sanctified life, because I remember when somebody first explained to me what sanctified was, I was confused, because I would look at his life fitted. The only thing he didn't do, what they did at that time, back then they did. It's amazing how that church changed, but anyway, but at that time, they did praise God with tambourine. They did. I remember as a child, they prayed. I remember they prayed. I mean, the men prayed. I can remember that. I can remember that so well, you know, them big old blue and brown suits and men on their knees. If you ever go to an older church and you see this little velvet-covered, little knee pad-like little thing at the front of a church, that's where they knelt before the altar. You know, some of, you don't see that in churches too much these days, but they kneeled before God, and they would call out, "Oh Lord, we praise your name." And you know, as a child, I didn't understand. They knew to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and with praise. That's how you operate in the kingdom. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. My first prayer of the day, I always enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I have a book with songs in it that I sing. Once you get up, you're groggy, you kind of shake it off, throw some water in your face. I don't really feel like praying. But I've been given authority to pray for all men, over kings and over presidents and over leaders and over governments, on down. God does this through us. This is what kingdom life is about. That's not, listen, he got that, I'm spending, I know I do more than an hour at times, depending on the situation. I was taught, you pray till you're released, amen, you'll know, okay, you know. But the point of the matter is, generally it's an hour, you know, and lately it's been a little more, but then there's a crisis situation. But the point of the matter is, when I start that one, that part of the day, I start singing. Now, later on during the day, when I see a car, police car going on with flashing lights, and I know they're headed to a challenging situation, I pray for them, but I don't stop and praise God at that particular time. I just command angels to go and surround them and protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Again, look at that. God given us authority to do that, And check this out. Now, you can ask your pastor about this. Let's say you do. See, you're going to give account to God for what you don't do with his power. That's what the spiritual aspect of Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 18, was one of his servants didn't do nothing with what was given him. Go back, go read that. He did not do anything. Who else has the power to pray, to intercede for salvation? Only the body of Christ can command angels to interrupt what is going on right now on the planet. Only the body of Christ. There's a lot of religious organizations, they don't even think on that level. They have nothing in doctrine, even in the Quran. They don't have nothing to command angels with. They're not instructed to do that. They're not. See, these things, why? Because we have a God. We have the true and the living God. This is what this is about. So now we have the power, the fact, another aspect of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, is that power has been conferred, transferred to us to do his will in the earth. You getting this? I believe you are, because I pray for you to get it. And until the Holy Ghost give me another direction. But the point is, if you go back and review, this is all this always been about. This, if it seems like I'm preaching the same thing, no, I'm just preaching different aspects of it. Because it's the same thing. You know, I've been hearing this stuff for 45 years. And guess what? Quite frequently, I hear something that I never heard before. Didn't see it that way. See? Now, don't think you've been, listen, unless you God and you haven't grown to that level yet, you're still only using 15% of your mind. You can't fly, you don't know nothing. I take that back. You do know something, but you haven't learned all you need to know. You haven't learned all you need to know. Man, I tell you, we got some young preachers in our church. I'll be looking for some. I know they're going to bring something I ain't heard, because why? Their experience in life is different than mine. The way they have been instructed by God to approach a challenge, see? And the point of the matter is that we have to be about our Father's business, see? This is what this kingdom of Christ is. So, again, what do you do when you move into a kingdom? If I was to move to another country to live, okay, I would have to learn that there are certain benefits or lack of, not or certain things that I can or cannot do. I would have to know the distinctive difference. Like countries that don't have freedom of speech. Let's say if I were to move into like Iran, I can't. Look, they don't even want you to have freedom of religion. You can't. I would have to be quiet about being a Christian. So I know I ain't going there. I'd be going under another authority. I'd be going under the authority of God, but they'd be mad at me. I'd be doing some Elijah and Elisha stuff over there. Amen. I'm telling you. See, but again, so if you're coming into the kingdom of God, then you know the kingdom you left, which was Satan's, things are different. Freedom of speech. I give account for every word that I say. That's in Matthew chapter 12, I think 12:36, somewhere in there. And that is a major aspect about this life. What we say. See, that's what it said. Jesus said, whatsoever you say and believe in your heart. So we have to learn these things. A lot of people, they say your life is now well based on what you've been saying. You know, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I can't do that. I take 2 steps forward and 4 steps back. So that's what happened. The demons go to work when you say that. See, I have a phrase, and you know how they used to say you win some, lose some. I say win some, win some. I live and learn, okay? Live and learn, you know. I don't live and lose. I don't. I quit saying that when I realized the power of my word. Again, we're talking about kingdom life. We don't know. I have to make this a habitual way of life. It's just not automatic. Why? Because God expects us to. He expects us to do this. Amen. We're making a little bit of headway. We're making a little bit of headway. Because, again, right now it's so critical. You know, I watch these as much as I can stand these accounts on YouTube about disasters. It's getting flooded. Now, let me help you with something. See, it seems like we're facing judgment. They're facing judgment because of their sinful behavior. Actually, that's not the case. You know what? Now, you know who you got to talk to. Not me. Talk to the Lord God Jehovah and ask him. See, what's going on is Satan. This is what's going on with Satan. This is what I have for a revelation. Now, you don't have to agree with it. All right? They're not committed. I'm talking about Christians. They're not committed totally to Christ because I've seen displays. You know, when I'm going to tell you, I love Mary to the fullness. I'm so glad she didn't have an abortion to try to hide the fact that she was pregnant, okay, because she would have killed my Savior, to which I absolutely need it, all right? But she does not qualify for worship. If you want to understand that, you got to read Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 6, and God explains who the only person can be worshipped. Jesus, yes. Mary, no. So now when you're praying, if you're praying to anybody other than God, which Jesus said, pray to the Father, okay, you ain't going to get an answer. And you're in sin. And then that opens the door for Satan to come and get you. You pushed down the hedge. You know, like Job, God didn't take the hedge down. You did. It's nice to be romantic with this religion, but listen, that ain't going to work for you now. Right now, the only thing is working is the power of God. Now, you know, I know people don't want to believe on that because you know what's going to happen? God is going to demand everything. See, you know, I did a series. I have these 7 criteria for what makes prayer fail and succeed. That's because I've been sitting and listening for years, and when I prayed about it, God gave me a, because I like to know. I don't like failure. I like things to work. I like things to come to pass because I'm here. God's word says I'm supposed to be successful in everything that I do. All right. So if I'm not, then I want to know what I'm doing wrong, because one thing I know for sure, God can't lie. If he lied, eternity disappeared. Okay, one time. He lied one time. Everything gone. I heard a preacher say that, you know, and I believe that. It just changes everything. He can't lie, okay? So, but again, these challenges, and the challenges are going to be different. God is not going to, let's say, you know, I've talked to some people that suffer from dyslexia. particularly a lot of those people you see standing on the corner, if you ever take the time, get out your car and go have a conversation with them, you will learn that they are on that corner because they can't deal with this technology. They don't have the skill set. They don't have the mind. Whatever happened to get them that way, it ain't all just drug addicts. And even the drug addicts, listen, let me tell you about drug addicts. They got a broken heart and don't know it. That's what they self-medicating. They're dealing with their pain their way. I'm giving alcohol, credit cards, addicts, they're dealing with a broken heart. Again, what do we minister? We're the one to minister salvation, deliverance, wholeness. That's what we are supposed to do. And don't, when you give them, if you feel led to give them money, when you get in there, pray, put your anointing, put your transferable power from God on that money. When they get it in their hands, God will see to it that it rub off on them and plant a seed in their heart. You will see one of them change one day. See, we have to, the only way you're going to find out how great this power is to become actively involved in the use of it. Better whining and complaining. You want to see the president make the right decisions? You need to pray for him to have the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, I've heard his own testimony. He don't know who to pray to, all right? But now, what is he dealing with? Satan goes after leaders. Not that he want to go after the leader of a nation, but so we have to intercede on his behalf. The Bible tells us to pray for those in authority, all those in authority. They're why? So we can live in peace. See, we can hold it off and let the next generation deal with World War III, which is going to be the case in my case. Because I'm going to be proud, I'll stay on it. See, this is the point. This is what kingdom life is. If you have to become actively involved in every aspect of your life, in every aspect of your life. So you cannot do this without reading the word. You don't know what the Constitution is. You don't know what the laws of the kingdom are. That's the only way. You can't. God is not going to acknowledge some made-up stuff. I don't care what he wear, robe. I don't care what consonants are behind his name. God is only going to honor his word. That's the only commitment he has to honor. See, that's what this thing is about. So, again, we're starting out. We made a little headway. You know, we're going to be talking about, because that's all that's really in the Bible. It's all about cultural change, and the culture that we go into is the kingdom life in God. And there's I'm convinced that the reason we're going to spend 1,000 years is because it's like when you come out of the police academy, if you go to a specialized unit, or even if you go on the street, you don't come out of the academy and they put you in the car by yourself. You have a trainer. So apparently the power level is so great that it's going to take 1,000 years for us to be trained to use it. Other than that, God could go straight through to chapter 21 in the book of Revelation, but he don't. And he doesn't do things without a reason. Now, I would be curious to hear any other reason than anybody thinks. It ain't like we need it, because that life would be a vacation. That's a trouble-free life. That's a no tears. Notice that's when the tears are wiped away. Okay? Notice that. That's in Revelation chapter 21, I think, verse 6. Not in Revelation chapter 20, when we rule and reign. Okay? It's a different. You pay attention to detail. Pay attention to detail. All right. So we're going to deal with the first aspect of becoming into the kingdom. And that is receiving salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you have fallen by the wayside after having done that, because Satan challenged you, he comes after people. He ain't gonna never stop. He ain't gonna never stop. But you can make it so he'll think twice about coming your way. They don't just come on my case. They don't just come get on me. They had to plot. They had to think about it because I get violent with them. Jesus said we take it by violence. All right, so that begins right now. Say this in faith. Okay, faith is you don't really know it, but you trust God at it. It's the Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for our sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say in my mouth that I am saved, that I am born again. And I am forgiven and I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. That's simple. That's simple. I mean, you know, and go somewhere and get baptized. Go somewhere and get baptized. Go somewhere and get baptized. And no matter what, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you baptize. When they baptize you, no matter what they say, you've been baptized in Jesus' name. Because that makes you a member of the kingdom of God. Then get a Bible. Get a Bible. You can download a Bible. Start reading it. You're gonna find that God is very vocal. The Holy Ghost is going to be talking to you. That's so awesome the way he talks. He's going to explain stuff to you, and then he's going to give you witnesses that you know that you're watching on the Internet that explain. This is such a marvelous age. I didn't have all this when I got started. We didn't have none of this. Believe me, we were still in the Stone Age. So remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week. Enjoy life in the kingdom.
Yo, P. Yeah. I want to do something real smooth. I'm going to catch him off guard with this one. Listen. Living through rainy days, pushing through every day, realizing that I can't do it on my own. Oh, trying to take all the pain, but I'm feeling some kind of way. I know that I can make it 'cause you are on the throne. Show me the wrong in my mistakes.